Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Native American Affairs. We're going to listen to Nina Simone until our guest host, Mr. Money, comes on the air. This is Nina Simone. I wish that I knew what it felt like to be free.
I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on Human Rights Demand at Blog Talk Radio. You know, Frederick Douglass said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. We believe that at Human Rights Demand, and we issue a human rights demand regarding different matters on a daily basis. Most of our shows come on at 3 o'clock p.m. In fact, let me say right now that even though our Tuesday show with Dr. Mustafa Ansari was airing at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, he notified me yesterday that he would like for me to play the tapes of his shows for a while. So I'm going to start doing that for Tuesdays, and that will also air at 3 p.m. Eastern. So this is a 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern channel, and the name of the channel is Human Rights Demand. And we so much appreciate you joining us. Human rights, we know, are very important, and we are here to stand up for our own human rights as well as the human rights of our neighbors. Who are our neighbors? Who are our neighbors? Our neighbors are everyone. Yes, everyone alive is your neighbor, everyone. And so we want everyone to have their dignity and respect, for everyone to be treated like they're very special people, because they all are. Everyone are very special people. And let me just give you, while we wait on Mr. Money, I want to give you a rundown of the shows at Human Rights Demand. On Monday, we have New Vision Organization. It's hosted by Leona Brando. It comes on, as I said, all our shows come on at 3 p.m. Eastern. Leona Brando is the director of New Vision Organization, a nonprofit organization consisting of volunteers who advocate for incarcerated men, women, and youth. New Vision Organization assists prisoners with supportive legal, educational, and reentry services. Its mission includes ensuring that prisoners are treated fairly and that they receive medical and rehabilitative services necessary to heal and become productive citizens upon reentering their communities. New Vision Organization, otherwise known as NVO, also advocates for pro bono legal assistance, and they assist with researching the status of inmates' court cases. And so, NVO's president and founder, Leona Brando, used to be a social worker, and she spent many years working with families, children, and adolescents before she found herself. That was before she found herself in the same condition as some of the people she was helping. She found herself in the overwhelming, suffering the overwhelming loss of having a loved one in prison with little or no hope for release. NVO includes lawyers, paralegals, social workers, letter writers, and others who promote prisoners' human rights and release for the innocent. Now, on Tuesdays, we will play tapes of Dr. Mustafa Ansari, who is an international human rights lawyer, is also dean of the American Institute of Human Rights. Now, the Institute is committed to educating attorneys and activists on United Nations human rights treaties and laws that America has already signed and is responsible to uphold. For instance, Executive Order 13107, which was signed by President Bill Clinton. Online classes and certification are offered by the American Institute of Human Rights to equip non-attorneys to file human rights complaints and correspondence directly to the international court, directly to the UN, as the case may be. Please listen every Tuesday and share the broadcast with friends and social networks. Everyone deserves protection of their rights to life, liberty, and security of person and property. Dr. Ansari believes that many justice quests that have been quashed in American courts are nevertheless eligible for fair treatment in the international court. The third show that we have on Wednesdays is Native American Affairs. Native American Affairs deals with Native American peoples, the First Nations. The host for this show is Kanupa Money of the Strongheart Warrior Society. All First Nation people and others are invited. Your questions and comments are appreciated. Mr. Money is of the Lakota National, the Nakota Nation, but he appreciates all Native Americans as well as everyone else who has questions and comments about his shows. And we appreciate you calling in to all the shows at Native American Affairs. Also, we had a previous host on this show, and that was Elizabeth Gaskins. Elizabeth Gaskins. She was of the Cherokee Nation. And her shows are still available for you to hear at Blog Talk Radio. On Thursdays, Bob Darby hosts Advocate for the Homeless Mentally Ill. Bob Darby has been an advocate for the homeless mentally ill for more than 20 years. He has a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology from Emory University. He also studied psychology and theology in graduate school. He is a former employee of the Georgia Regional Hospital, which is the mental hospital, the Boston State Hospital, and the New Hampshire Hanover Dartmouth Hospital. In 1994, he co-founded Atlanta Food Not Bums. So he is our guest host on Thursdays here at Human Rights Demand at Blog Talk Radio. Our former Thursday host was Mr. Britton Mosley. Mosley is a former corrections and law enforcement officer who endured persecution for refusing to comply with brutality in the prison system where he worked. Britton said law enforcement and corrections can be challenging and dangerous work, but also fulfilling and rewarding if done with integrity. Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of persons. Those rights deserve protection. So that is from Mr. Mosley, who was the Thursday host here at Human Rights Demand, and his shows are still on air. They're available, rather, on tape at Blog Talk Radio. Now we have Bob Darby, the homeless mentally ill, who will be on air tomorrow this time. We are starting a new show I want to tell you about, and I believe our host has come on air now, but we have another show I want to tell you about, and that's Jenny Strozier, Keeping It Real. He's going to start this Friday. Jenny Strozier was incarcerated in Georgia prisons for 46 years, and he spent 15 of them in solitary confinement. He went to prison in 1968. He was released in 2013. He was initially arrested at age 6 when he and friends broke into an Atlanta warehouse to steal cigarettes for family members and candy. He was sentenced to prison at age 10. His sentence was lengthened to 90 years after cutting a prison guard. Strozier's warden told him he would never exit prison alive, but he did. He became a Christian in the 1980s, and that changed his life. He was released last year, and since his prison release, Strozier works, he counsels the youth, he completed the requirements for reentry programs, he attends church twice or more times weekly. Strozier's cellmate in the Macon prison was convicted child killer Wayne Williams. Strozier is, to my idea, a success story because he has gained, first of all, his prison release when he really never expected to come out of prison. And number two, he has been out of prison for about a year now. It'll be a year in July. And he's really got the right attitude to succeed. On Saturdays, we have a show called Release to Innocence. Now, sometimes on Sundays, we have a show that's Human Rights for Prisoners March. I want to thank you for coming, and I believe Mr. Money has joined us now. My name is Mary Neal, and I'm Director of Human Rights for Prisoners March and Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. And I want to welcome you, Mr. Money, to Human Rights Demand. How are you today?
Oh, you know, I can't complain. You know, I had so much of the understanding taking place throughout the week. But nonetheless, I keep struggling to live for another day.
Well, thank you. I'll turn your show over to you now, Mr. Money. And we are so glad to have the Strongheart Warrior Society representative here with us today. We know that you care about all First Nations people, and really you care about human rights, period. And so we thank you for sharing with us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon to the majority of the listening audience. This is Sharup Agruhamani with the Strongheart Warrior Society, and I'm taking this opportunity to share more of, you know, the endeavors that are vested upon us through colonial practices. I try to not be too much in a disrespecting term where I would, you know, be disrespectful to the listening audience. What I really get into is the fact of how independence has been backlashed towards every person of color, even the Caucasian race is included in this independency when people are struggling to remain free. And so today I thought that I would take the opportunity to kind of elaborate on the predicaments of life. Now, I've been out in Oakland, California with my little sister, Avila Lopez, and her husband, Raymond, and their son. And during that visit out in Oakland, California, I went into some of the neighborhoods on the eastern section where all the majority of the minority people live. And what I saw was very alarming, because on almost every street corner where the mutual, you know, bypass street went by, on every street corner I saw nothing but liquor establishments. And as we continued on with our little journey through the neighborhoods and different understandings in the town of Oakland, I saw how the same practice as how the reservations would deem the same, you know, biased behavior at the hands of eurocentric bureaucratic behavior, colonial policies that are implemented in a city, county, reservation, or even in America itself, you can see that the citizens in general have not learned one strong understanding of what's taking place at the discretion of eurocentric behavior. And lo and behold, having all them liquor stores in the eastern side town of Oakland, that continued to keep my dialogue and my descriptions of how genocide is still being, you know, forced upon my African people in that city. And when people talked about the eastern part of Oakland, you know, it's always, you know, being promoted as a negative, you know, neighborhood, negative, you know, atmosphere to prevent people from really taking a foothold of seeing what's happening out there. So once again, thanks to my little sister Avila Lopez and her husband Raymond and my nephew, it was an honor to see that. And at the same time, why do people of color, you know, why do they always have to encounter, you know, this type of, you know, unhealthy segregation? Well, let's go back into a point of history. And again, I'm not doing this to be disrespectful to the listening audience. What I'm getting at is, if the independence in a social democracy has been informed to give people the ability to be part of American enterprise, which is supposed to be free, you will see that this country's citizens have not learned a thing about slavery, yet alone implementing genocidal, you know, implementation through ethnic cleansing is a prime example how the upper class of people, the upper class and the middle class, are using poor people to continue to debauch them of their free and independent, you know, compellings to become oriented in society. You see the homeless people's, you know, predicaments, you know, rising. You will see, you know, underclass families being driven out of urban cities and so forth. So what does that tell America? I mean, it's no different than a reservation, but America is a reservation. And that's the problem, where a majority of the people don't really want to get back to the basics of why the laws that taxpayers pay in to protect these godforsaken rights are being driven, portioned at, you know, local and county and city and state, you know, enforcement agencies. I mean, America has, almost every one of the states in America have become a police state. That's the godforsaken truth of why, you know, a colonialism is enforced that way. But why is it? Well, I'll tell you why. And again, the independence that are vested upon people of color, they're never driven to that assertion to assert the independence with the freedom they believe in. And so when poverty has become inevitable in my country, and I hate that crass term America, it doesn't exist, but my country has been limited with these type of fundamental practices of rights. And if that offends, you know, a majority of the Caucasian people that are listening today, well then, maybe if you look at your own backyard and start cleaning up all the unhealthy predicaments in life that you have, you know, enforced upon people of color, then you'll know exactly what I'm saying. So when you have police states, law enforcement is protecting the rich's assets. And so the assets of that foundations show exactly how, you know, the pilgrimage stationed itself to alleviate that foundation of goodwill by stripping people of those rights through natural law. And natural law is vested upon people that have the ability to understand their predicaments where they need to, you know, be assured on how they're going to deal with the practices that pertain to those rights of way. And so indigenous people are encountered by that same, you know, criteria too. Every time, you know, indigenous people step up to protect their children or stand up because, you know, they believe that, you know, the American system is downgrading and destroying the lives of treaty, you know, implemented infractions or independence, white America chops it off again. And so it's the same with the humanity in this country. You know, we are losing our God-given rights. I mean, law enforcement are killing people, you know, random. Almost in every state known to American citizens as America, law enforcement is destroying people at random. Law enforcement. But why is it? Well, this is the God-forsaken truth. We, the poor people, are assets to the rich. And that's the problem we deal with every day. But the concept, nobody wants to utilize their individual mentality to be leading role models to help people get out of dormancy. And so this is the whole complexual attitude that's transparent that deprives people of those basic independence of rights. Now, let's say we take all our grievances that we, you know, compound with, and we took them to the world nations, and we present them before the United Nations, you know, Human Rights Commission, and we finally got it into the world courts, the world justice system. You will see that the American system would fall short of denial because the genocidal aspects to that infraction will prove that we, as minority people, are less than nothing of how the rich continue to enforce invalid, you know, colonial policies that were implemented to many other countries. And when they failed those foreign policies, they brought them back and they imposed them on the American citizens. So in the truthful predicament of this, America is one big Indian reservation where laws are violated every day, every second, every moment. And this is how the rich continue to prevail, because they use law enforcement. I don't care if it's city, county, state, reservation police, FBI, Homeland Security, ATF, you name it. Even the citizens itself that are rich are people that can, you know, continue to operate the counterintelligence, you know, program, which is better known as, you know, the COINTELPRO. So these are the messages we are sharing today, because nobody has leading role models that can defer these purposes to the truthful things to prevent our unborn children that are yet to come to have some kind of safeguarded dignity where they do not have to have their independence being violated. When that concept of having the pursuit of happiness through your liberty and your independence will be protected, that is a right-out lie at the discretion of how politicians and many people that lobby in congressional's, you know, atmosphere to bring about change. No one in the Western Hemisphere or even in Turtle Island should be immune to law enforcement abuse, court justice abuse, or the affairs of congressional, you know, abuse through legislation passing. No one, no human being should be, you know, deprived of those things. But yet, they're going, you know, untold. And so today, this is how I stepped up to take on a bigger, you know, infractions. I mean, any agency that compels to this whole ideology of how Western civilizations not bridging the gap between people of color, but instead continue to pass legislation and laws that are biased and don't protect those godforsaken rights that you have, you will see that this country will continue to show the chaotic behavior, and it will repeat history. Listening audience from the Lakota Nation, we try to hang on to what privileges and what understandings we have to pave a better opportunity to safeguard our people of color, our people of color, whether they're yellow, black, or red, and even the white man, he is included. And so this is what we talk about, because those godforsaken rights are being stripped right underneath your feet. And when I go back to that concept of being into Oakland, California, at my little sister's husband's request to go visualize and see the apathy of what that city had set out to be, I have not seen any type of good understanding that gave the African people to have some kind of free enterprise rather than liquor stores on every street corner. I mean, this is sad but true. But don't get me wrong. We people of color can produce our own, you know, economic developments, our own infrastructure, and keep it, you know, black money, yellow money, or red money. We can keep it all within our own to build our own economy, to build these things, but we are never given that opportunity. But yet you have our people fighting and, you know, being driven out, not allowing them to have that chance to be part of, you know, accepting that, you know, bureaucratic thinking of, you know, having that dream of that opportunity. So we fall short of being who we are as a person of. I mean, this is inhuman when the legislation continues to pass all these unhealthy predicaments that go on every day, every second, every moment, every hour at congressional approval's disposal. And you will see we are not learning one thing from our past and present. And as I said once again, many states that I saw out in the West Coast, I saw where if you give them alcohol, you give them drugs to become that type of melting pot in America, then you can pass laws. You can pass legislation. But the people, our brain, their brain function is not normal because it's unhealthy. And it's easier to strip them of understanding what rights they're supposed to have. Am I making that clear? Yes, I am. If I'm lying, somebody call me. My phone number is 605-517-1547. And tell me I'm lying. Tell me that this is not a truthful message that I'm sharing with you. And I'll go and ascertain the question more truthfully and eagerly the best I can, again, to prove that I'm right. This is what I saw when I was out there. And so the majority of our people that strive with that same type of principle on the reservation, why do you think my tribal government is trying to pass a liquor ordinance? Why do you think they're trying to pass a drug ordinance? You see, this is they want us to kill ourselves, okay? They don't want us to improve the conditions that are unsanitary, you know, within our communities, neighborhoods, the reservation. And once, you know, the color of man is eliminated, What do you think the Caucasian race is going to do again? They're going to find some other place to distrust and continue to keep that type of mentality alive. That's Eurocentrism. That is white think. And this is what I constantly try to tell people in the listening audience, to stand truthful with me and wake up and see where the problems lie. And it lies in this Eurocentric mind's, you know, bipolar disorder that continues to deprive people of those independent natural rights that the great mystery and Mother Earth and all the four nations creatures, whether they be wing or the four-legged, they gave you these natural rights to abide in their own habitat of paradise. And to this God-forsaken day, we are getting away from listening to our four-legged brothers and sisters. I mean, it's sad, but true. And today, this is how I'm attacking the same thing, because we are being driven out. Because dollars are never being investigated on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Well, of course, there was, you know, drug bust, you know, a few weeks ago. But who did they bust? They didn't bust the main people. They bust all these ones that are struggling. And I'm not protecting them. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. But they knew all along that their own people were bringing that in. And they should have been doing this 15 to 25 years ago. And we wouldn't be in this predicament. But that's the whole ethnic cleansing, you know, experiment, allowing people to destroy themselves within. And that's how I make today's understanding very clear and informal. And again, if it offends you, as I said openly, I did not mean to disrespect anybody. What I'm saying is the truth is here. Nobody wants to listen to the truth. Nobody wants to become them role models. And I can reflect to that stuff, because when our people back in ancient times went into the face of battle, they did it alcohol and drug-free. And there was no use of any type of unhealthy, you know, chemical to deny them to assert those rights and stand. We believed. We were once a powerful people, the Lakota, the Cheyenne and Arapaho, and many other nations. They had that same ability at one time. And now, because you spoil them through casino money and you give them this falsified education that destroys them, you have to prove your lineal descendancy from where you come from. That is inhuman. It's just like the blood quantum issue. I mean, that's what they do to animals, from thoroughbred horses to dogs. Even you violate the four-legged rights, man. That's inhuman, ladies and gentlemen. We constantly try to share every type of reality before our people so we can create a better, you know, way of living for our yet, you know, unborn that are yet to come, and the children that are here. Children should not go to bed with empty bellies. Families should not be driven out because, you know, they can't make ends meet to keep a roof over their head. None of this should happen when this is supposed to be a country that is wealthy and rich. The normal pronunciation of white think, because when law enforcement continues to abuse that power of authority, it's done at taxpayers' discretion, because nobody's questioned that issue. Law enforcement, from FBI all the way down to even tribal Indian police, are breaking these laws. They're constantly taking people and children and placing them in all types of colonial prison camps and breaking them of their traditional identity. That is a full-fledged war on the people of color. That is ethnic cleansing. Ladies and gentlemen, I take this honesty to my heart to give you, because as I'm talking to you, a bluebird is sitting on the fence, and it makes my message real good, because I know the great mystery and the animal creations are supporting my message. We've always had a saying in our Lakota, you know, virtues of life. They say,
Ashtoha,
Wakakaki Chimanetu, the Unchimakaki Lena Nupi, another the Humpi na only chalk there. They say that. And it's a good way to understand it in our language rather than trying to deprive the understandings in a negative pronunciation because our language never was written. And again, I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. I'm saying it because the language that we as indigenous people and many other nations, even our African people, when they first arrived here, they had a language. Now is driven from them. That's ethnic cleansing. That's genocide. And this is what's continuing to happen within the faces of this, you know, Mother Earth's green creation. Our people are losing our capability of retaining our language, tradition, culture, and the way of life. And everybody else has become an instant Indian now, like a package. You just tear it open, put it in a cup, and add water, and it turns color. That's a mechanism of how I pronounce an instant Indian. And that's what we're up against today. So listening audience, please don't take this into a negative offense. I'm only giving you the tools of understanding because it's frustrating where the strong heart leader, Sanup Agruhamani, has to continue to lead his people out of dormancy. My children don't have anything to eat. Their shoes are, you know, they've been wearing them all year long, and they play in them, and you know, their bodies perspire, and their feet smell bad. We don't have that luxury to turn our shoes around over and over and over. Our grandmothers, they live on fixed income. Their money is barely stretched. You got outrageous electricity bills and propane bills, and some of our grandmothers are still paying rents to home ownership housing that are run down. And the middle-class families are living in subsidized, you know, unhealthy predicaments of HUD, unsanitary living conditions at their discretion in these housings. They fall apart within 6 years. I mean, man, this is a total annihilation of a people that once had the ability to roam free. Now remember, every said reservation in this country is a prisoner of war camp. Pine Ridge is known as POW Camp 344. And this is what we talk about because this truthful message has to wake you up somewhere in your heart to understand what we are dealing with every day, every second, every moment, every hour. Just as the sun comes up in the east and goes down in the west, this is the type of predicaments that are unhealthy. And yet alone, man, America still doesn't want to clean up their own backyard. Now, to rest the case, when President Obama leaves his termanship as the president of this nation's, you know, bureaucracy, we're going to be replaced with somebody else that might be a Republican-minded man. Or a Democratic man. We'll never know. Only they don't. Because it's who they can control to make it good. Like they say, they're going to give you this, they can give you that. It's been, you know, almost 8 years and we haven't seen anything. And when the late Eloise Cobell challenged the system about all this trust money being, you know, carted off into an obligation where the federal government held it into trust, it created more alcoholic epidemics. You know, epidemics at the discretion of all the legal liquor stores that are established within reservation boundaries or within a reservation. And it also, it also increased the drug standard epidemic because all the dope dealers and, you know, the meth ringers and cocaine men were getting rich off the misery of Eloise Cobell's effort to try to give people a chance to relieve themselves. And this is where the counties and state make big-time dollars off of the poor people again. That's an insult. That's a wage of war against us. They give the money to us and not utilize it into its best perfection. Then they take it back by putting our people in jail. And the death rate rises. I mean, God, how many other people in the mainstream media are paying attention to this real thing? You see, if you fight for the belief system in your freedom, okay, you have independence. And then when you assert them independence, that's how you exercise sovereignty. And those are the powers that be. Now, we cannot have the type of momentum that carries out today because we don't have the money. And when we do get money, we have to pick up where we left off at. But a majority of our people can't do that. A price of loaf of bread on a reservation is $2.19. When you go off the reservation, you go to a neighboring city, that loaf of bread is $1.39. What does that tell you? They get rich off of poor people's misery. They're red, yellow, or black, or even their own, white. They'll do that. You see, the oppressor will never oppress his own, but yet he will oppress others of color. And he will keep continuing to throw different type of legislation and laws to neutralize that power base. He never wants us to get out of dormancy. He never wants us to get ahead and become that type of person to start saving their own from all this unhealthy predicaments called freedom. Freedom is not vested because of the independence when you go off to foreign wars and you join this government's military brigades. No. That's not freedom to go different countries and kill people that look just like you. None of them other countries outside my waters called me a prairie nigger. None of them other countries outside my waters called me a dog eater. None of them other countries outside my waters inflict oppressed racial behaviors upon me. None of them other countries outside my waters abuse my people, enforce one language, which is English. This is sad but true. And so the reality is, how far are we willing to prevent our future generation that are coming behind us and the ones yet unborn to have a better predicament in life without the need of alcohol or drugs or this eurocentric mindset through that bipolar disorder that continues to afflict abuse upon them? When are we going to really look at our children and our elders and teach these understandings of goodness for them to have a better future? Listening audience, let's take one of our children, no matter which one it is, boy or girl, let's teach him the value system of life. Let's teach him the language that is still here. Let's teach him the culture, the tradition, and this custom to be that better person to lead us into the 22nd century. There are still leading role models, such as myself and many others that are trying to, but as long as we're at each other's throats, excuse me, and not fighting the good fight by changing these elements, by enforcing independence, then you will see that we too, as people of color, whether we're red, yellow, or black, we're going to repeat the same damn history that this white man has been afflicting upon us since he arrived and since he got educated in 1776. God, man, this is a brilliant day to talk about all these things in a real strong, valid, indication of our life, because it's not that our tradition will never die. I am tired of seeing people of the white race belittling us by playing with culture. My culture! I'm tired of seeing that. And I'm tired of my people bringing them in to participate in our sacred circles. That's our sacred circle. It's like our country club. But try the white man's country club and see if he'll let you in there. He will not, because you don't have the commonwealth in there and meet them exacting standards that he has. So we have to create our own country clubs, and that's our own sacred circles of life. And those still belong to the African people, the Asian people, and the indigenous people within the Western Hemisphere and inside this continent known as Turtle Island. Ladies and gentlemen, today gives me great, great challenge that my message of goodness goes out to each and every one of you. And what I want to say is, if you do have